أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل وسلم. Verse number 153 يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. O you who have faith, take recourse in patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. And the following verses, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And do not call those who were slain in the way of Allah dead, rather they are living, but you are not aware. This set of verses take us into a new area where Allah is preparing Muslims for sacrifice, that they have to sacrifice if they want to defend their faith, they have to sacrifice. And it is related to the previous set of verses in the sense that because of this change of Qibla, there was created such an identity which the Mushrikun and the Ahlul Kitab could not tolerate. Now the verses are telling us that you have to prepare yourself for whatever may come because of this new identity. Okay, the verse 153, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Exactly the same advice was given to Ahlul Kitab at the beginning of the verses where the discussion with Ahlul Kitab started. But there, it didn't have Ya Ayyuha Alladhina Amanu. It said, Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salat. It was addressing Ahlul Kitab. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salat. Wa innaha lakabiratun illa alal khashi'in. Take recourse to patience and salat. And it is, of course, difficult, except for those who are humble. Here, because there is this assumption that mu'minun are humble, a different sort of idea is put forward for this sabr and salat. And that is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with the patient. In that verse, many of the exegetes had actually interpreted sabr as fasting. However, in this verse, sabr is interpreted as holding oneself in the face of difficulties. There is this definition by Sheikh Tusi of sabr, the patient. He says that هُوَ الْحَابِسُ نَفْسَهُ أَمَّا تَدْءُ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا لَا يَجُوزُ لَهُ. Someone who holds himself in the face of what his desires call him. Now, the desire may call to be sort of, to rush towards whatever is not allowed, or not to tolerate what comes in terms of difficulties and such things. So, someone who holds himself, who gathers himself actually himself in the face of difficulties or in the face of rushing towards unlawful matters is a sabir. And how this istiana means you seek help for something that your power is not enough for doing it. For example, if you want to take 100 kilograms of weight, you cannot do it. Your power is not enough for it. You need something to be added to your power. This is ista'ana. You use some sort of means or equipment to lift that 100 kilograms. This is ista'ana. Now, ista'inu bis-sabr was-salat means that in such difficulties that Allah is going to count for us later on, in such difficulties, you cannot hold yourself, you cannot stop yourself from rushing into undesirable things. except by seeking help and recourse to sabr and salat. And sabr would help in the sense that you prepare yourself for those things. Sabr is a sort of preparation. You prepare yourself for those things to face them while, of course, you are not taken by surprise, taken off guard. And seeking help from salat is possible because salat is remembrance of Allah. Salat is reciting the verses of the Quran. Salat takes us to a different category of our existence, different level of our existence. It takes us above this material world and all those difficulties which are going to be mentioned later on could be somehow tolerated, endured, when we go higher from this material life. When, for example, some difficult calamity comes to us, if we take recourse to salat, because we go to a higher realm, we go to a different category of our existence, then these things would become easier for us and it would somehow become endurable. So, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with the patient. Now, being with this ma'iyya of Allah is very important. And inshallah, I will see, I will read one hadith later on about the meaning of this Allah being with the patient. When Allah is with someone, it means that someone has tawfiq of Allah, has help of Allah, has blessings of Allah. Allah guides him all the time. Allah looks after them all. This is the meaning of Allah being with someone. It's like, for example, you are going somewhere and you have a bodyguard, or you have a guide, or you have someone who knows everyone, who has connection with everyone, and takes you through difficult times, difficult places. So when the verses "Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin," it means sabirin have all sorts of help, blessing, and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what are the difficulties? The first thing is, of course, the loss of loved ones, and especially in war and in battlefield. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ. And do not call those who are killed in the way of Allah that they are dead. أَمْوَاتٌ means هُمْ أَمْوَاتٌ. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله هم اموات بل هم احياء بل احياء ولكن لا تشعرون. Now, shu'ur is a kind of awareness, of course. It is very fitting to the situation. We don't have that type of awareness to realize that those who are dead are alive. We think that they are gone because we buried them. We bury their bodies, of course. We bury them. They go under dust. They would disintegrate after a while. So our shu'ur, our awareness, would tell us that, well, they are gone. Allah says you don't have that type of awareness which would realize that those who are killed in the way of Allah are alive. And of course, it's not limited to those who are killed in the way of Allah. Yes, everyone is like that. Why those who are killed in the way of Allah is mentioned here? Because usually when there is a fighting, when there's a war and people are killed there, people think that they are wasted, they are gone for no reason. And they feel lots of pity that someone is killed in the battlefield. So on the Muslim side, of course, they are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not say that they are dead. They are alive, but you do not realize. And this refers to the life in barzakh, of course, to the interim life between this world and when the souls come back to bodies. when souls come back to bodies, of course, everyone realizes the life of human being. But in this interim period, in Barzakh, it's very difficult for us to think that the souls are alive and are existent, living entities. Related to this verse, of course, this, the discussions about where do the souls go after they die, what is their situation, what is their position. With regards to shuhada, those who are killed in the way of Allah, there is a special, of course, sort of perquisite for them. There is a special place for them because the other verses, inda rabbihim yurzaqun, they are alive and they are being provided for beside their Lord. They have a very high position. But everyone else is, of course, alive. In Sunni narrations about where the souls go and where the souls live, we don't have a very clear idea. And the most famous hadith in this is what is reported in Al-Bukhari, which says the souls are in the crop, in the stomach of green birds, which are nesting under the arsh. And the hadith is here. The hadith says that we asked Abdullah, Masruq says we asked Abdullah, and apparently it's Abdullah ibn Umar, and هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَاهُنْ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. The verse about shuhada. Abdullah ibn Umar says that قَالَ إِنَّا قَدْ سَأَلْنَا عَنْ ذَلِكَ. We asked the Prophet about this, that how they live. The Prophet said, فَقَالَ أَرْوَاهُهُمْ فِي جَوْفِ طَيْرٍ خُضْرٍ لَهَا قَنَادِيلْ مُعَلَّقَةً بِالْعَرْشِ. These souls are in the crop of a green bird, which has lusters. Lusters hanging from the arsh, and it's not very clear these lusters belong to what? To birds, to arsh? Anyhow, the hadith is like this. However, there is a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, which is reported in Al-Kafi, that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq asks one of his companions, ما يقول الناس في أرواح المؤمنين? What does the people say? Nas, of course, means the general scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. What do they say about the soul of the believers? He said that I told him, يقولون في حواصل طيور خضر في قناديل تحت العرش. I said that they say these souls are in crop of green animals, green birds, in lusters under the throne. It may be a metaphorical sort of explanation or sentence, but the Imam alayhi salam replies, فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْمُؤْمِنُ أَكْرَمُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ أَنْ يُجْعَلَ رُوحُهُ فِي حَوْسَلَةِ طَيْرٍ. Mu'min is more honorable, because it talks about shuhada, is more honorable that their soul is placed in the crop of a bird. Now, why this idea of in crop of a bird comes? Because they want to give some sort of existence to the souls. Because about غير الشهداء, those who are not martyred, in another hadith, they say that their souls are alive, but they don't have any sort of tangible existence. They are there until the day of judgment, they come back to their bodies. But for shuhada, they are living somewhere, actually, these souls, in the crop of these metaphorical green birds. Now, then Imam alayhi salam says that إِذَا كَانَ ذَاكَ أَتَاهُ مُحَمَّدٌ وَعَلِيٌّ وَفَاطِمَ وَالْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنِ صلوات الله عليهم والملائكة المقربون. When the time of death comes, these figures, the five infallibles and the angels, the close angels come, he actually enters in a different realm of existence, can see and witness things that we cannot witness in this realm, especially the angels. فَإِذَا قَبَضَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ, after Allah takes the soul, سَيَّرَ ذَلِكَ الرُّوحُ فِي قَالِبٍ كَقَالِبِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا, that soul goes into a body like this body in this world. This is what, of course, they call imaginal body, مثالي body or barzakhi body. There is another body. It's exactly like this body, but it doesn't have mass. It looks like us. Of course, when we become old, it doesn't look like us in old age. It looks like us in a sort of middle, mature age. And in that body, فَيَأْكُلُونَ وَيَشْرَبُونَ, they eat and they drink from barzakhi things. فَإِذَا قَدْمَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَادِمُ عَرَفُوهُ بِتِلْكَ السُّورَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ فِي الدُّنْيَا, if someone goes to them, if a new soul goes to them, or if someone sees them, they knew them with the same face as they were in this world. And we have another hadith as well, which Imam Ali Salam is asked about the Arwahul Mu'mineen. He says, فَقَالَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, they are in paradise, of course, paradise of Barzakh. عَلَى صُوَرَ أَبْدَانِهِمْ, they are exactly like the figure, the form of their bodies here. لَوْ رَأَيْتَهُ قُلْتَ فُلَانٌ, if you see him, you would see that he is, you would say that he is that person that I know. So they are totally recognizable with the same surah. And this is what is Allah is actually telling here. Now, of course, our idea about Barzakh is very clear. It's just a life, of course, is a higher category of life. It is a richer life. It is life without mass, which actually gives us friction and makes us heavy on the earth. So when we don't have mass, but we have a body which has size, shape, form, color, but without mass, of course, we become very versatile, going anywhere we want to go, very agile. And then, of course, there is that life requires eating, drinking, socializing, and everything. So this is what is actually mentioned in this verse. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لَمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ إِنْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, your awareness cannot reach that. But if you had that awareness, you would have seen that they are living and they are having a fuller life and richer life than the life in this world. Now, after saying that, of course, after saying, now Allah is preparing the ground for mentioning something very sort of scary. And preparing the ground, first of all, you have to seek help from patience and from salat, connection to Allah. You shouldn't think that those who die in the way of Allah are dead. And after that, Allah says that now, of course, death is awaiting many of you. Sudden death, death in battlefield is awaiting many of you. And it's not only that, there are other things. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, we will surely test you with a measure of fear and hunger and loss of wealth, lives and fruits, and give good news to the patient. Now, before going into those five categories of losses which we may incur in our lives, the ending sentence here in this verse is وَبَشَّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good news to the patient. At the beginning, in the opening verse of this section, We read, يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. Allah is with the patient. Now here, these are two different categories of patience, two different levels of patience with two different types of results. Here, إن الله مع الصابرين, Allah is with the patient, is different from give good news to the patient. Why I say this, there is a hadith in Misbah al-Sharia reported from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In his talk about patience, he says that فَمَنْ صَبَرَ كُرْحًا وَلَمْ يَشْكُ إِلَى الْخَالِقِ وَلَمْ يَجْزَعْ بِحَتْكِ سَتْرِهِ فَهُوَ مِنَ الْعَامِ وَنَصِيبُهُ مَا قَالَ اللَّهُ وَبَشَّرِ الصَّابِرِ. If these calamities come and pass over someone, and the person have patience with reluctance, doesn't understand the meaning of it, doesn't understand the philosophy behind these things, but is patient because of faith in Allah, and does not complain to anyone. Because usually when these things come, we complain, why me? Why my son was taken, for example? Why my house was gone? And all this type of shakaya and complaining. وَلَمْ يَشْكُ إِلَى الْخَالِقَ وَلَمْ يَجْزَعْ بِحَتْكِ سَتْرِ. And does not go out of his way or her way for jaza and complaining and moaning. In a sense, taking the cover of honor from themselves, had kisatre, fahuwa min alam. These are from the wider circle of mu'mineen, wider circle of mu'mineen, and for them nasibuhu ma qala Allah wa bashir as-sabirin. For them is what Allah says. Give good news to the patient. Aibil Jannah means for them is paradise. For them is paradise. وَمَنْ اسْتَقْبَلَ الْبَلَايَا بِالرَّحْبِ وَصَبْرٍ عَلَى سَكِينَةٍ وَوَقَارٍ. Now, whoever receives these balaya and calamities with open heart, with patience, with tranquility, and doesn't lose their composure, فَهُوَ مِنَ الْخَاسِ. These are from the more limited circle of the believers, from the elite among the believers. وَنَصِيبُهُ مَا قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. What is given to them is that ma'iyya with Allah. Allah is with them. So we have two different levels of patience for two different levels of mu'mineen. One who, of course, they are patient, they rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't complain, but they don't know the philosophy behind it. They know that they are in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking them from one situation to another situation to make them grow. With reluctance, with difficulty, they have patience. Of course, Allah rewards them with paradise. And the reward of Allah, we'll mention other ahadith later on, inshallah. But for those who receive it with open heart, with knowing why these things are coming, with anticipating, of course, Allah is with them. Inna Allaha ma sabirin. Now, five things are mentioned here. لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Insecurity, khawf, which is because of fightings, battles, and such things. And Jew, which may be a result of fighting, the hunger, which may be a result of many other things, and natural disasters, which may, of course, cause loss of wealth, loss of lives, loss of fruits, the crops and such things. These five things are, in a sense, covering all sorts of calamities that come to a person in the life. Now, the interesting thing about this verse is that it addresses exactly the question of evil. You know, one of the main force or main point of strength of atheists in discussion against God is the question of evil. If God is there, why so many evil in the world? If God is there, why all these disasters, natural disasters, human-made disasters, wars, battles, why? Insecurity, hunger, famine. Now, Allah is saying that, well, this is part of my creation. It doesn't mean that Allah is negligent or he cannot somehow stop this. No, of course he can stop it. But he has himself made this part of the life. For what? لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ for test. For, because as I mentioned before, our bodies are formed in the womb of our mothers and then become in this world, the bodies become more, grow more and become more complete, not in the sense of adding anything to it, find more strength. What about our souls? Our souls are made here. And how it is made here? Through these ups and downs of life. We have to go through such things so that our souls shows its patience, shows its thankfulness, shows its composure, and many other qualities of the soul that should develop in this world. And Allah says, all these is my doing. Not that I cannot stop it, not that I have neglected it, it's my doing. I am going to test you with these things. لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now, who are these sabirin? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who, when an affliction visits them, they say, indeed we belong to Allah and to Him do we return. Instead of complaining to Allah, instead of accusing Allah of not knowing how to run His creation, of not being able to stop these things, of why He is bringing us all these difficulties. Instead of that, this sabirin, what do they say? They say, when a calamity comes to them, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ refers to our origin. إِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ refers to our destination. There is one hadith from Imam Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam. In Nahj al-Balagha, which says that in a sense, when we say "Inna Lillah," we confess that we are owned by Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. We are confessed to our mamlukiyah. And when we say "Inna Ilayhi Rajun," we confess to our destruction, that we are going to be destroyed in this world, we are going to go back to another place. Now, there are many narrations which give the benefit of this type of attitude. It's not just saying it, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, when a musibah comes. It's having this attitude in heart. And that gives a sort of very positive attitude to a person when they have such outlook towards the world. What is a musibah? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. In hadith, we have كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يُؤْذِي الْمُؤْمِنِ فَهُوَ مُصِيبَةٌ. Whatever upsets a believer is a musibah. It's not only those things. Whatever upsets you. Even, for example, when you check something, you check your account and you see that you think something is missing and you are upset. And then you find out that you made a mistake. We have in Hadith that even that may be a musibah for a believer, which has, should have patience over it. I'm saying the least things to the very, of course, big things. In all these cases, we should have this attitude that we should not lose our composure. Now, let me mention some of the ahadith here, and then, inshallah, the continuation of the verses we leave for our next session. In Majmu' al-Bayan, from the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says that man istarja inda al-musibah جَبَّرَ اللَّهُ مُصِيبَتَهُ وَأَحْسَنَ أُقْبَاهُ وَجَعَلَ لَهُ خَلَفًا صَالِحًا يَرْضَهُ. Whoever says استرجاء, استرجاء is إِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is called استرجاء. Whoever mentions this, عند المصيبة, when a calamity comes to them, Allah would make up for his musibah, though he may not be aware of it, and Allah would make his return, his ending, very good, ahsan uqba, and would leave after him a good khalaf, a good successor that he would be happy with, maybe in many, many generations to come as well. And whoever remembers a musibah, you were, for example, someone is hit by loss of a loved one. And of course, the moment is the most difficult time, isn't it? The first few days of a musibah, any musibah. It's like an injury, you see. When an injury comes to the body, at first it becomes very painful. Gradually the pain subsides. And the psychological pains are like that. At the beginning, when there comes a loss, it's very difficult. And gradually it subsides, but one may remember it. Now, for example, after a few months, you remember again the musibah that hit you. He says, "Man usiba bi musibatin fa'ahdatha istirja'a," and renews istirja. I remember last year something happened to me very drastic. I say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." And وَإِن تَقَادَمَ أَحْدَهَا, even if there's a long time, after 20 years I remember some calamity, again I say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah gives the same reward. While of course there's a big difference between the two. And also there's another hadith in Al-Kafi which says, ما من عبد يصاب بمصيبة فيسترجع عند ذكره المصيبة ويصبر حين تفجأه إلا غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه. No believer is hit by a musibah, is inflicted by a musibah, and says إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون, and has patience, unless حين تفجأه, when it suddenly comes. Musibah is something which comes suddenly, isn't it? إِلَّا غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ وَتَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Allah forgives whatever sin they have done. You see, even for difficulties which inflict us, Allah will forgive our sins. If we have patience and if we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And whenever he remembers that musibah, and says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ كُلَّ ذَنْبٍ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Every sin between these two استرجاء will be forgiven. So at the first instance, when we are hit by a musibah, we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. As I said, this is not just a sentence. It is something felt by the heart. All our sins will be forgiven. Now, in couple of years' time, we remember it again. By remembrance, I mean that we feel the pain of it again. And we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah will forgive all the sins between these 2 years, these couple of years that we have committed. Allah will forgive them. Because Allah, of course, is prone in forgiving. He wants to forgive. And for the least, he's waiting for a pretext. waiting for just a signal from us to forgive whatever we have done. There are two other hadiths, because we have no time, inshallah, I will read these hadiths, because these are very, very important in terms of our attitude towards difficulties and afflictions. Inshallah, I will read them in our next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala tahirin.
Thank you, Sheikh. So it seems that we usually recite in now, Lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, when there is a death that occurs or hear about it. But in fact, we should be saying it for every musibah, isn't it?
Yes, yes, for every musibah. Yes, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Going on the discussion, what Brother Mandaz is saying, there is another ayat that I sometimes use in the beginning of namaz. Inni wajahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati. That kind of gives me strength in when you go to sleep or you get up in the morning and you say that. And it kind of says that everything following now that I'm awake is now. So that keeps a check on what you do during the day. So if you're going to lie to somebody about something, you think, hang on, this is not what God wants you to do. So it's a good thing to have different ayats from the Quran.
Well, that's when we want to do to worship, when we want to sacrifice something for Allah. This is when musibah comes. It's a different sort
of course, of course, yes, yes, in every event.
Situation. Yes.
So a little quick one I picked up. When you said that in Barzakh, we in Surah Yasin we have that people will wake up and say, "Who woke us up from this long slumber, from this long sleep?" So how does that compare to people who are living and eating and getting sustenance from God? Are they different people we are talking about?
Well, there are different interpretations for that. But one interpretation is this, that, you know, our souls are living in Barzakh. Every soul, whether mu'min, kafir, everyone is living. When the trumpet is blown, all souls would go unconscious, would die in a sense, okay? And then between that and the second blowing, where all souls are given life again, there's a billions of years of time. And when they come back to life, they feel that they are woken. That is the sleep rather than the barzakh time.
Thank you. Any sisters? Any brother? Any brother? Yeah? Can you pass the mic?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Sheikh, on the point that you made, that why we have these difficulties and calamities in this world as a response to atheists, whatever, I just want to recollect something that you said earlier, that if it wasn't for these difficulties and life was very easy and very smooth, then in order for our souls to develop, it may take 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years.
Yeah.
But in Allah's mercy, He speeded this up so that we have a very short time here.
That's true. Yes. I mentioned that with regards to Shaitan, Iblis, that tries to deceive us. And if it was not for his deception, it would have taken a long time for us to show. But the same thing would apply here as well, yes. Yes.
Thank you. Any sister? No? Any brother? We are quiet thinking about it. Yeah, bismillah.
Sheikh, can you repeat that hadith that when you have any kind of musibah, big or small, that you recite inna lillahi, and can you repeat the wordings and from Imam Ali alayhi salam?
No, the wording from Imam Ali alayhi salam is that when we say inna lillahi, we are confessing that we are owned by God. And we say inna ilayhi rajoon, we are confessing that we are going to cease to exist in this life, of course. And we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other hadith that I mentioned was that كل شيء يؤذي المؤمن فهو له مصيبة. Anything which upsets a mu'min is a musibah. Now you may think of this in terms of anything in this life. What happens to, for example, to our family, what happens in our business, what happens, anything in this life which upsets us is a musibah in this wider meaning.
Thank you. Any sisters? Any brother? Yeah, Riaz, take it.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Just one when you discuss the difference between those with whom, those who have the good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the distinction between the two. So from what you said, my understanding was that those who have patience without understanding, but then they don't have any complaint or they don't seek revenge or recourse for their loss, they have the good news. And the ones that do it with understanding would be with God. So what
welcome
is an extra?
Those who welcome it, actually.
Oh, they welcome
sense,
it.
Knowing that this is what is planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the Quran says that all calamities are planned by Allah. It's not accident. It's not something that Allah has put. Ma asaba in Surah Hadid, ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi wala fi anfusikum illa fi kitabin min qabla an nabraha. All these calamities are already written in a book before we bring it to existence. So don't think that these are things that we are unaware of. We have planned for all these things. Now, if someone realizes and welcomes and says that, yes, of course, this is something that Allah is doing to me to make me grow, to uplift me to Him, this, of course, has this ma'iyya of Allah.
Forgive my question, just I'm trying to understand it, but it seems counterintuitive, because all we do in our lives is trying to prevent. In everything we do is to prevent the calamity. We try to sustain our life. We try to not go to a situation which will end in hunger or loss. So all we're doing is protecting ourselves. And so it seems difficult to understand what that understanding is that takes you over the edge of being just a recipient of good news and being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, yeah, it's a good, very good point you made. Thank you very much. It doesn't mean that those people are not protective of themselves against calamities and such things, that they do not want to somehow create a situation where the difficulties are gone. However, they know that this is not possible, and they know that these things come to life, to anyone's life, and therefore the other group, the hadith mentioned, they accept it with reluctance. It's very difficult for them to analyze, and they do not complain. You know, sometimes you see people come, why me, for example? Why this has happened to me? This complaint. They do not do it, but they are it's very difficult for them. They are very reluctant. For the other group, this reluctance is not there. They are protective, but this reluctance is not there.
Thank you. Yep. Any other sisters before you go back to the brother?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. So just following that point, if some individual hasn't experienced many calamities, would that suggest that he's kind of ignored by God or he's not tested?
We have many narrations saying that, actually. That yes, people who are not tested with these things, in a sense, they are forgotten by God and they do not grow. So if you see someone very wealthy, very well-to-do, nothing comes to them. I think I mentioned this hadith before here, that once Prophet, peace be on him, was invited to the house of one of the companions in Medina. And when he entered, an egg fell from the wall and didn't break. And Prophet was amazed. How come this egg fell? There were these chickens on the wall laying eggs. How come? And the person said that, you know, I never have incurred any loss in my life. Prophet said, so we go back. I don't come to this house because it seems Allah has forgotten this house. So,
any sisters? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Is it, there's a hadith that if any musibah does not fall into you within 40 days, you are not near to the God. Is that some hadith?
No, we better not set time for it.
Okay.
And You know, musibah is not just, as I said, those very, very hard and difficult things which come. They come in life of every person, and maybe once, twice, three, four times. Of course, when there is war, when there's famine, we see famine in Africa, we see war in Middle East. Of course, this is a very, very heated time of the inflictions. But sometimes calamity, as I said, in one hadith, it wants to say the amount of upsets when a person becomes upset. You count your money, you find that it is short of what you think, and you count it again, and it's right. That moment of thinking is a musibah for you, for example. This amount of musibah. And of course, we are going through this every year, isn't it? Every day. Such things, such small things. Yeah.
Do you think the ISIS are sort of a quoting on this ayat from the Quran and brainwashing the youngsters today?
Bring musibah to people, huh?
No, not musibah, but you know, you are still alive after you, if you die in the battle, in the name of Allah.
Of course, you know, every warring nation would have their own justification for encouraging people to go to battle. It's either national pride, it is maybe human pride, it may be the encouragement because of martyrdom and getting the blessing of Allah. But of course, we have to use these things in the right way, not in the wrong way. And ISIS is using it in the wrong way, and certainly that fighting doesn't bring paradise for those who are fighting in it. Yeah.
Thank you. Safraz, and then we go to Riaz.
Sheikh, very quickly to follow on Riaz, what I was saying. From what you're saying, I can see three categories of people. One is a person who, when musibah happens, he complains to the general, to everyone. And another person who, when musibah happens, he complains only to Allah. He doesn't complain to anybody else, and people don't see he has a problem. And then the third one that you mentioned, that he welcomes it. It seems a person who welcomes it won't even complain to Allah. But Nabi Yaqub falls in the category
Complaining to Allah is always good. Complaining to Allah is always good.
How can one complain to Allah and yet welcome it? I mean, it seems the two are separate things.
That's sabrun jamil, as Ya'qub mentions. As a taking it with open heart. I mean, we cannot understand the extent of difficulty of Ya'qub. And then when he says sabrun jamil, I accept it with open heart, is something which makes them Allah being with them.
But that's what I'm trying to understand. If he accepted it with an open heart, yet he cried to the extent where he's lost his eyes, the two don't seem to go together.
No, it does. It does, you know, because human feeling is different from the attitude of heart, you know. Human feeling makes them cry, makes them, in a sense, feeling tight in their heart. But in terms of understanding and awareness, it's very different. I'm sure people who have gone through this know, realize the difference between feeling, that very strong feeling of grief, and not complaining at all. And this is what even the Prophet was asked when Ibrahim passed away, that they said, "You are crying, Ya Rasulullah." He said, "I'm a human being. I have feeling, but I never say something which is not pleasing for Allah subhanahu."
Thank you. Riaz?
Yeah. Sheikh, upon this point of feeling, there are views around. I'll mention just two simple ones. One is that the feeling and the emotion of anger, it can be justified in places. And if it comes because you are on the side of Allah, then maybe it's more justified than at any other time of getting upset. Along the same line of thought, what do we call these people who say that Imam Ali might have taken the Khilafah and changed the whole of history? Do they belong to a certain thinking? So that's two questions.
Might have taken the Khilafah in how?
By force, or because he had a right.
Which force?
Well, he had a God-given right to take the Khilafah.
No, but which force? Well, he didn't have anyone to back him.
Well, it's a question that somebody posed, so I'm sort of transporting.
No, he didn't have force. If he could, he would have taken it, but he didn't have any force.
Alhamdulillah. And yeah. Then back to the first question, the anger, please.
Anger?
Yes, please.
Well, we have the example of Prophet Musa in the Quran, isn't it? When he came back seeing that Banu Israel were worshipping the calf, he took the head of Harun, and it was Ghadban Asaf, very angry, very grieved of what had happened. So yes, this anger has a function in human being, and if that function is used in right place, of course it's good. But not being angry with wife and children. You see, that's you say thank you in a way that you are going to be angry with.
Well, if people mention things like why did Imam Ali not rise up and take the Khilafah, then you feel a little bit of hang on. This person is questioning the actions of a masoom person, so you get angry, and that's what.
Okay. I see. Okay. Thank you.
But then perhaps that was Allah's will not to leave Imam Ali with any support so that he wouldn't fight for his Khilafah and continue.
Yes.
Possibly.
Well, this was the Prophet had mentioned this to Imam Ali, that after me there will be fitna.
Yeah.
And fitna is, when there is fitna, no one can stop it when fitna comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every nation after their Prophet should be tested of their sincerity of faith. No one can stop it. It comes. وَحَسَبُوا أَلَّا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ They thought there wouldn't be any testing after the Prophet, after Musa, the Banu Israel. And Muslimu, the same thing. This fitna comes. And of course, our Sunni brothers disagree with us in this. They say that there was no testing, there was no fitna. But what we believe is that, yes, there was a fitna. There is a hadith in Nahj al-Balagha that Prophet says, Ya Ali, after me, the people will be tested. And then Imam Ali asked, how should I take it? As a sort of return in the faith, in the sense of giving up on the faith, or just as test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the level of sincerity, the Prophet said, no, as a testing, not as going back in faith.
Well, sometimes I take it as a blessing in disguise, is that because otherwise Imam Ali wouldn't have got those 23, 25 years to spread the true Islam, is it?
Well, there's always blessing in disguise, yeah.
Any other sisters and brothers? Yeah.
Sheikh, why does Allah forget someone?
Forget someone? Yeah. Well, you see, forgetting, we discussed two verses last week. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ You remember me, I remember you. And the other one was نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ They forget Allah, Allah forgets them. Forgets means abandons them. If someone forgets Allah, then Allah would abandon them. In a sense, of course, it's our doing it, which brings that result. When we abandon God, we are left abandoned because we cannot receive those blessings. And if we remember Him, we receive the blessing, and this is the meaning of remembrance of Allah for us.
Any sisters?
Sorry, just to add to this point you said about calamities and your initial reaction or feeling and separate from what your heart feels, there's plenty of examples from the event of Karbala in that.
Mm-hmm.
When on the day of Ashura, difficulty after difficulty came,
yeah.
and was met not with anger but with acceptance. Is that's a
yeah,
good
but
example
you
of
see,
the heart.
The grief and feeling was there, you know. Certainly, it's human beings. But this is one area of human sort of awareness, feeling. The other area is, okay, how I should take it. That's a different thing. And this, when we separate between these two, we realize why, for example, some people have such a grief, but Allah commends them for their patience, and vice versa.
Thank you. Any assistance?
Yeah. You know, in everyday life, when you have some sort of a grief, and if you keep on lamenting about it, it's very difficult to move forward. You can't. I mean, you know, so how would you sort of? You have to forget. You have to learn from whatever happens to you. But you can't keep on lamenting and crying about it.
Yes.
And then.
Well, it's not good to keep on lamenting and crying. Yeah, it's good to forget.
But then it's very, I mean, I find it very difficult that if something comes from the natural calamities, from Allah, and then you keep on remembering it and you keep on crying about that incident, then you don't progress, you know.
Feeling is something, as I said, like injury, you know. When a physical injury comes, you feel the pain. That's on the moment of the injury, the pain is very, very strong. Then it subsides gradually, isn't it? Until it heals. The same thing with these psychological pains. When it comes at the beginning, it's very painful, but it subsides gradually. And if we keep on, bring it up again, continue. However, the hadith says if it comes back to your memory, it happens. Sometimes, I don't know, you may have experienced this. Sometimes something has happened, just occasionally you remember it, or it comes to your heart, you feel the grief again. You say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," again. But it doesn't mean that you continuously remember it and say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un."
Thank you, Anna. The last one, sisters or brothers? Thank you, Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Salwa. Thank you much.